Flott som å gjette sammen, kommer en ny plat I juni, så jeg fant frem et artig intervju med guttene når de var I Oslo I 2015. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og du hører på Jernverket. Men du, før intervjuet noe jeg må si. For det ikke gratis å lage jernverket, så om du vil støtte produksjonen av programmet, det helt genialt om du vil donere et par slanter. Det går an å trekke et fast beløp hver måned via patreon.com/jernverket, eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Informasjon og lenkene står I episodebeskrivelser, og beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. Bidraget går rett til jernverket. Tusen takk for alt jeg har fått inn hittil. Jeg takknemlig for hver eneste kron.
So now I'm sitting on the porch of a church with Flotsam and Jetsam, or at least one of you guys. Could you please tell me who you are?
Hey, what this is Mike Gilbert from Flotsam. I'm the guitar player. I've been in the band since pretty much the get-go, from the beginning, I Live You Die and the demo tapes and all that stuff. That was a lot of that. The music and stuff was that when I came into the band, I started writing it, so... I'm one of the songwriters too, so.
You came in when Flotsam and Jetsam went from being just a high school garage band to be more.
They were definitely killer. I remember seeing them a couple times at a couple shows. They were opening up for, I think it was Merciful Fate the first time I saw them, and I was like, oh man, can I cuss? Okay, so I was like, holy shit, this band is killer. You know, I saw them. And within a couple of months, they had contacted me because they were making some changes with their guitar player, and they'd asked me to do it. You know, they asked me to come and join. You know, I didn't expect it at all. So I was like, "Fuck yeah, I want to do that." You know, so the rest is kind of history. I went in and talked to Newstead, and we kind of jammed a little bit. And he goes, "Yep, okay, you're in." So,
did you know the guys back then?
No, we had a mutual friend back then, and I don't know, just kind of happened. One of those things, I guess.
And you said you started writing music for the band right away?
Right away. I was writing music before I joined, so I had some stuff like kind of prepped, you know, ready to go for it. But first thing was first, I had to learn the songs that they already had, which is a lot of the stuff that was off of our first record, the Doomsday for the Deceiver record. But then the more abstract music that's on there, that's kind of my influence coming into the band. Newstead was always the vocal or the lyric influence, you know. I my lyrics sound like shit. When I write something, my lyrics are just awful. You guys would laugh. You guys would be, really? It'd be so disappointing.
So tell me about the first record. When the story begins with Doomsday for the Deceiver, that was 86.
Mm-hmm.
What happened around this year?
Wow, that was really weird. It was, it wasn't, metal definitely was not happening. It was really, really underground. There was very few bands doing it. I mean, there was Metallica and Megadeth and stuff like that. And it just started evolving and kind of started snowballing after that. And then, I couldn't even believe that we ended up getting a record deal back then. And then we ended up getting on a major label within 2 years, you know. 1988, we ended up... getting on Elektra Records, which back then, big deal to be on a major label. It meant that you were, you know, making it to the next level. You know, Metallica was on a major label, and then, so we were just all excited, you know, thinking, oh, we might have a career doing this, you know. We weren't really trying for that. We wanted to jam, we wanted to do shows and just have some fun. Ended up, now we're touring, and all this stuff, really cool stuff was happening, making records, and...
And you were touring with the big guys back then.
Yeah, our very first tour was with Megadeth. They came through town in Phoenix, and we ended up being a local support at the time. And Dave Mustaine was like, fuck it. Why don't you come with us? You know, we all got along great. We got along famously. And he kind of took us under his wing. We ended up having the same management and stuff, and still talk to him to this day, you know. So.
You planning to do a new tour with Megadeth, Mike? Would you do that?
I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't know, the way things work these days and how these big festival tours and stuff go, it's really tough to decide, you know. There's a lot of different factors. There's buy-on bands, you know. It's a lot easier to get a buy-on band and have them help support the main act instead of a main act, you know, having the responsibility of bringing in, you know, 300, 400 people. So it's just it's a lot less stress. So I understand the buy-on acts, even though I think it's fucking up the business, you know what I mean?
So this is why all these weird bands can. I saw like Five Finger Death Punch with Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just they buy themselves?
No, first? Bands like that, they don't have to do a buy-on, but like local bands and stuff like that, or bands that how do I say this without sounding? I don't want to sound like a dick, but I guess we have a little bit of seniority in the business a bit, so we don't have to buy on a tour. You know, we get asked, which is cool. You know, they give us a guarantee. But some of the newer bands that are out that aren't, you know, maybe haven't been around for so long, they might have to have a record label, if they have a record label backing, throw some money towards a tour. And I think I think it's screwing it up for everybody, for the touring bands, you know.
But let's go back to the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
The first few years, you said you wrote a lot. Jason Newsted wrote lyrics.
After the first two records, Newsted and AK wrote the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And actually, just recently on the Ugly Noise record, Newsted came back and he co-wrote two songs off that record with me. Just because we're still buddies.
You lost him to Metallica for quite a
while. Yeah. Yeah, we kicked him out. No. No, that was a great opportunity for him, you know. They asked him to join, so I kind of knew it was happening. When Cliff died, it was a tragedy, but, you know, after thinking about it a couple weeks later, I was like, you know what's... I know exactly what's going to happen here. So, you know, I got the call from Newsted, you know, and said, dude, you got to do that. You got to go. You know, it's a big deal. So,
what did you guys do then? Straight out on the streets and get a new guy?
We got a new guy that was from a band called Sentinel Beast, which is Michael Spencer, and he's on the bus right now actually doing some computer stuff, so and he's back in the band, you know, so he left for a while as well. After that year he left, and now he's come back. So the band had a lot of lineup changes, but it stayed kind of family oriented, I guess you could say. So
many of you have been in the band and then out and then back again. You two had a little break.
Yeah, I raised my kids. I had some issues with, like, our management at the time. And I was just... I needed the time off. I was like, fuck, this was way too hard. Too mentally just challenging, you know. And I was like, I got to focus on my children, you know. No, they're grown up now, so I can be out here and act like I'm a kid too now.
What do they think about your music?
They go to the shows. My daughter's she loves metal. My son not so much, but he still goes, and he's like, God, Dad, I can't believe you play this crap, you know.
Just the way it should be. As long as he doesn't like hip hop.
No, what does he like? He actually started playing guitar. He likes a lot of popular music though. Mm. You know, he's got appreciation for metal because a lot of good musicians in metal.
But could you tell us a bit about, like, your Doomsday album, The No Place for Disgrace, and all like this, some stuff like that? They become classics.
Yeah.
What do you feel when you hear people talk about your albums as classics?
It's weird, you know, because we get a... I don't even know what to say. I'm totally flattered and just like, I can't believe it. I feel totally lucky because we get these tours over here, and we have a special set that we do. We get requests for just those two songs off those two records. Mm. And the fans come up, and they've all got the same stuff. You know, they've got the Doomsday records, and they've got the No Place records, and they say the same thing. It's classics. And I'm like, classic, really? You know, when I think of classics, I'm thinking of freaking Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin and stuff like that, you know. So for me, when someone says that, I'm like, wow, you know, kind of get a little teary-eyed a little bit and just don't really know what to say. I'm just kind of humble about it, you know.
But you put out, like, 10 other records, too. How do they... and the fans, they ask for the first and the second. How do you feel about these other albums? You've made them, and you probably liked them when you made them. What are fans saying about them?
Well, you know, this is my opinion. This is just my opinion about it. But I think, because this is the way I feel, I think people listen to a music and it brings them back to a certain point of their life, you know. Like, I like a lot of classic rock because it's really powerful for me. It brings me back to a time, like, just a special, like, feeling, you know. I might have been down or I might have been up. It might remind me of something. And I think that probably has the same effect as, you know, those two records do, you know, on people. So I don't know, though. I think it's different with everybody. And music is like a fantasy thing for everybody, you know. It's not really made to be... It's not really reality, you know. It's something made to get you out of reality. And, you know... Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But how do you work when you put together a set list? Do you pick songs from every album, or... Oh, now he's coming.
Here he comes. we try to. And we take requests, too, because... We had a guy the other night. We were in, I can't even say the name of the city. It was in Germany, though, I'll tell you that. And the guy was like, well, I want to hear the new songs. I want to hear new songs. And nobody's been saying that. Okay, this is Mr. Eric AK coming up to us right now.
Welcome.
Sorry, I got engulfed in watching Death Angel soundtrack.
Please give the listeners your name and what you do in the band.
My name is Pippi Longstocking, and I sell T-shirts.
Nice. We were just talking about the set list and the guy that actually wanted new songs.
The dude the other night, the one guy. Play the new stuff, play the new stuff. I'm like, what?
What age was he?
He was probably our age. You know, 25.
25. 25 years ago.
But Pippi Longstocking is only like... 8 or something, so she's still younger.
Yes.
You're still younger.
I'm 8.
Yeah.
At least I act like I'm 8.
But the last album you made was a remake.
There's a good story behind that.
Yeah, though. Yeah. You should tell me that one, because I know that you've been writing music all the time.
Yeah.
So why do a remake?
Well, we did the remake of Doomsday, first record. And it turned out pretty good. It was a double thing because we put some videos on there and some songs that came out before the first record, stuff like that. Little extras, you know, for the fans. And we had a lot of requests to do the same thing for No Place. But No Place was on Elektra Records. And Elektra Records has been, over the years, has been bought and sold probably 30 times. And when we called them up to find out where the masters are so we can remix, they said, Flotsam who? Who are you talking about? So they had no clue who we were, where the masters were, who owns them, anything. So, you know, we talked to some lawyers and some representatives, and they just said, just re-record the whole thing. So we took that as an opportunity to make the production much, much better. So... We were actually kind of happy to re-record it.
But did you change anything? I've seen that people said you changed solos and...
A little bit. We didn't change any of the songs, but we had some guest guitarists come do some solo stuff on it, and that was a lot of fun, too. We really just wanted to have fun with it and not change it too much. You know, we wanted to kind of keep it as true to the original as we could. So, I think it turned out pretty good.
But I guess you aren't going to do remakes forever. Like, now we're taking the third and then the fourth and...
We would like to do a remastering or a remix, I guess you could say, of When the Storm Comes Down. Because we all agree that tonally, sonically, it sucks. I mean, there's some good tunes on it, but we'd like to do a remix and straighten it out, get it done right.
Going to play it again or just remix it?
Just remix it. Mm-hmm. I'll play it again. I kind of like doing that. It was kind of fun.
Are you sure you're going to find the masters this time?
No, we're not sure. But the guy who did the producing for that record is still producing. He's still in the same place. We're still in contact with him once in a while, type of thing. So that one's not going to be very difficult to get a hold of, I don't think. Mm-hmm.
I think they used our old 2-inch tape from the No Place for Disgrace to record the Kanye record. They recorded over it.
That's the times. But are you working on new material?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got... we're actually right smack in the middle of it right now.
So what?
About 16, 18 songs written. We've got maybe two and a half of them recorded and ready to mix, and we're working hard on the rest of them.
How does this sound? Is it still pure trash, or
it's kind of a weird mix of all the different eras of Flotsam. There's some stuff that sounds like it should have been on the first two records. There's some stuff that sounds like it came off of record number 5 and 6, and there's some stuff that sounds like it's brand new. So it's going to be kind of a strange mix. It's going to be very difficult to title this record and come up with a concept for it, because it's the sound is all over the place. I mean, there's really old sounding hardcore thrash metal on there. There's some more melodic stuff. There's a wide arrangement of music on there. So it's going to be kind of hard to come up with a concept for album cover and title and all that, but that we're really happy with the songs, really happy with them, and we're putting a lot of work in them. We're working very hard on them.
Maybe you should do it like a kind of a metal opera, like Avantasia or Arion, just to put different vocalists on it, and I don't know.
Oh, no, my ego is way too big to have other vocalists on there.
But talking about albums, you made a lot of them, and one of them has to be your least favorite album. Which one are you least pleased with when you're looking back?
Well, you weren't on that one anyway. Yeah. Unnatural Selection is the worst album that anyone has ever put out, I think.
Why?
No, it's horrible. It's just horrible. The songs were horrible. I think I wrote all the lyrics for the entire record in like 2 days. And it was because it was my turn to record. And we were wasting studio time. And I hadn't done anything yet. So I went into the studio and started writing lyrics and sang them, and then wrote the next one and sang it. And it just horrible record. But I'm the only one in the band, I think, now that was on that record. So I can blame it on them. I can blame it on the other lineup. <Of
course. laughs> We are masters of pointing at other people for the blame. We're really good at it, the five of us.
But who would you point the blame on?
Whoever's not here. Like, I'm going to say Steve. And if I wasn't here, he'd say me. So.
You've actually won the bands that you've never like taken a big break for 10 years and then come back. You've been playing all these years and making music. Can you tell us a good story from Flotsam and Jetsam? Can be in the studio, on tour, with fans, a Spinal Tap moment, something funny or juicy to share with the listeners.
Man, there's a lot of stories. Some of them are shareable, some of them aren't.
Not shareable.
You can take one of those that are not shareable. You know, there's a Norwegian listeners. They can deal with some obscenities.
No, some of them we just can't share.
You can tell them to me.
Some of them we've completely forgotten about.
We do hazing in our organization.
Oh yeah.
So we get like in our road crew, if we get a new guy, we haze him pretty bad for about a week.
What do you do then when you haze him?
We have themes for different. Every day is a different theme for what we're gonna do to him. Like we have a no talk day where you can't talk to him. So he might be asking questions, and nobody can talk to him. And he totally ignore him. Then this is a brutal one, though. There's no sleep day. So everybody takes turns making sure that he doesn't go to sleep. And I remember, what was the drum, his drum tech's name that at the time?
Tim.
And we ended up taking one of these parking curbs, right? And we put it in his bunk, in his bed, so he couldn't. That's so mean, isn't it?
He went into the bathroom in the bus one day. And we wedged a guitar case up against the door so he couldn't come back out of the bathroom. And we left him there all day. In the little tiny bathroom in the bus. He's going, let me out! Let me We just left him.
Oh, my God. No wonder you got a lot of new guys.
No, it's all in good fun. We all have fun with it. We don't, you know.
But do they know that they get haste? Or do you just do all this stuff without...
We tell them. So, yeah, next week, after the first week, it's like, okay.
Hazing time.
It's hazing.
When another guitar tech, we duct taped him into his bunk. Completely duct taped it so it was just black in there and there's no light of any kind. And he just wakes up in the morning and he can't get out and he's freaking out. One guitar tech we had, we did that too. And we're in the morning, we're waiting to hear some screaming, you know, because he can't get out of his bunk. We went to the front lounge of the bunk and he's just up there reading a paper, having a coffee. We're like, no duct tape, like it never happened. So he went to sleep with his pocket knife in his pocket. And he got up in the morning and went, oh, those guys. And he just cut himself out and, like, nothing ever happened.
Bummer.
We've never had anybody quit on us, though. Nobody's quit.
Not because of that.
No. So we're getting new people all the time. Like, every time that we get a new guy, they end up kind of staying with us. You know, like, we just got a really good sound guy, Martin Furia, from a band called Bark. He plays in that band, and then he runs sound for us and a few other bands when he's not doing this, and he's fantastic. And we just met him a couple months ago, you know. We didn't haze him.
We haven't yet.
You don't haze the sound guy, because that's when your shit doesn't go through the PA system. Sound man is our friend.
Yeah, because he can actually screw you guys, too.
Do you know if there is a possibility to find the digits for the day?
No, even I don't have one, and... I'm doing an interview with the guys. You know, it's impossible. Sorry, but no, you can't get a ticket. You have to blackmail some of the people going to the show.
Blackmail?
Give them a lot of money. I don't know. Sell your body.
That's a good segue, though, because the show tonight is sold out and nobody can get tickets. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good thing. Except for the people that don't have tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll, I don't know, people will storm the house. I don't know. But and I guess that this show is probably sold out because they've been good at publishing it in social media, and that's a large part of the band's life today. And I watched your Facebook page, and you put out some pictures there, like of your beer and the ghost.
Oh, you saw it. What'd you think? What do you think it was?
It was a ghost.
Did it look like a Yeti, like Abominable Snowman?
No, it was a ghost. A spirit.
It was the ghost from Scooby-Doo.
I do that, though. I find stuff. Maybe there's something wrong with me because I see stuff in my beer. Things come to me. Things happen to me in my beer.
But have you
like
thought
that.
Of getting paid for it? You could just sell, like, you know, these ladies that have tea leaves and they see what's happening in your future.
You could
future.
Tell people's future with your beer phone. Mm.
Yeah.
That's not
You're
a bad idea.
You see a ghost.
But that would be a good gimmick for the new album, you know. Every song.
Beer foam could, on the album cover.
Yeah, why not?
We turned AK to the dark side on this tour because he didn't drink beer before this tour. Now he's, give me a beer. Mm-hmm.
You didn't drink before this?
Not beer. Only Jack Daniels.
So you're even later than me starting to like beer.
Or yeah. You know, Jack Daniels has been so good to me. I have to stick with my friends, you know?
So now we already have like more than 20 minutes and the show is 1 hour long. Still, I'm thinking about what I should ask to complete this. But yeah, I was going to ask about the social media. How do you use like Facebook and stuff to... Do you use it to talk with fans or only to promote or...
For both, actually, because on our personal pages, we do get some stuff from fans, but you got to be really careful with it because you try to be cool with people, but sometimes they take it a little too far. Like they'll ask you a question, like, "Are you guys coming to wherever, someplace, Gelsenkirchen, Germany?" Yes, we're going to be here then, you know, thanks for supporting us and stuff like that. And then they'll go in, they'll start telling us stuff. Well, check my band out, you know, this and this, and they'll start sending links and stuff like that. It's like, you know, we don't have time to do that all the time. I mean, we love to do it, but, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult for us, you know. And then if we don't do it, then we get, you know, people don't think too highly of that either. You know, they get pissed off, and that puts us in a weird position. But the other part of it is on our Facebook page for Flotsam, it's a beautiful thing to be able to get out there to people, you know, for advertising and stuff like that, and to let people know what's in your beer.
But have you ever experienced something really weird with fans?
All the time.
You ever woke up with a fan staring at you?
A merchandise girl once. you know, like the other night, we had a fan who was backstage talking to us for a while.
This was last night.
I didn't want to say it was last night, but it was the other night.
The other last night.
And he was just talking to us about other bands and stuff, and about how much our music meant to him. And then he started talking about wanting to kill people and kill himself, and it just got really weird really fast. And those are the kind of instances where you're just like, whoa, back up a little bit. It's okay to be a fan, but don't be so weird, you know?
Yeah.
It might have been the alcohol, too, you know. Yeah. I think he was drinking a little bit, but he was really a nice guy at the beginning, and then it just got weird, you know. Like, it made us a little bit uncomfortable because he ended up in the dressing room, you know, and that's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, what's up, man?
Yeah, what do you do? Should you call the police? Like, I've got killing threats in my inbox just because of my dialect. It's really? It's like that when you're in the media or in a band, people think they can write or say whatever, but they usually don't do anything.
No.
But
yeah, it's usually pretty innocent.
When someone tells you they're gonna kill themselves, of course you get afraid. Like, what do you do? But
he didn't really look like he was in that state of mind.
He just looks like he was really drunk.
Probably just wanted you to, I don't know, comfort him. But usually always, the bands are supposed to pick the music for the show. And I'd like you guys to pick one Flotsam and Jetsam song. You can agree about which one. And then I need 9 favorite songs, like 4 or 5 from each of you.
Oh, okay.
Well, agreeing on a Flotsam song is not going to happen with me and Mike.
Okay.
It might.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
We can do 2 Flotsam songs, though, right? One from him.
Oh, okay. You can do that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say Play Your Part. That's probably my favorite one off of Ugly Noise.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
He's going to agree. Maybe use a Jedi mind trick on it.
That is a good one. But I'm going to go with my favorite Flotsam song of all time, Better Off Dead, from The Cold.
Good. Then you have 1 Flotsam song each, and then you have... and take 4 other songs each.
Okay.
It should be within the hard rock, progressive, metal. Yeah.
Okay, I'm a big Corey Taylor Slipknot fan right now. I'm really getting into that. So Stone Sour, Gone Sovereign is going to be one of them. Then Slipknot, also the Maggots. There's 2 for you. You want to go for it?
We're going to have to go Judas Priest, Hellion Electric Eye, and Screaming for Vengeance.
I like his choices better. I'd never play Slipknot if it wasn't for you, you know.
Oh, really?
No.
You do all classic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I can... Yeah.
No. You can wish whatever you
My
want.
Next one was going to be AC/DC, 2 AC/DC songs anyway.
Okay.
It's A Long Way to the Top, and then Have a Drink on Me.
I won't tease you. Taste is individual.
Let's go with Iron Maiden. Peace of Mind. Mm-hmm. Something, anything off of Peace of Mind. And maybe Ace is High.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That was quick. Then we only have 1 thing left, and that's the jingle.
And he's
jingle.
Awesome at that.
Yeah, radio jingle. Uh-oh. The worst part of that is probably pronouncing the show's name.
Okay.
It's Jernverket in Norwegian. But I usually just say Jernverket to people with the R's. Jernverket.
Jernverket.
Yeah, it means ironworks.
Ironworks. Jernverket.
So you can do it the easy way. Just say, hi, this is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. You're listening to Jernverket. But creativeness is always cool.
I'm just going to say my name and let him do the Yarnvark.
Yeah, you can think the for Yarnvark. A while in Yarnvark, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just a standard one. I'm just going to say, hey, this is Mike Gilbert from Flotsam and Jetsam.
This is Eric A.K. from Flotsam and Jetsam. You're listening to Yarnvark.
You might have to do a little editing on that one.
Yeah, it's no problem. I'm going to do that anyway. Did you have a creative one or just staring out?
I am so not creative today.
No. That's the beer.
That's the beer.
Yeah.
After a couple of beers, I'll be very creative.
So do you guys have time to go out tonight or are you going straight to the Boston and driving?
I think there's an after party at, what was
Kneven?
Yeah, that's
place around the corner there.
Yeah, it's like there.
And then we leave at 4 in the morning.
Mm.
So party for a couple hours. And
so what kind of shape we're in at 4:00 in the morning?
You get to sleep. You don't have to drive the bus, I guess.
No, we don't have to drive.
No.
No.
We have to watch the driver, but we don't have to drive.
No.
Good. Du har hørt et intervju med Flotsam og Jetsam innspilt I 2015. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med Testament, Creator og Sodom. Neste vekk prøver jeg å få til en prat med Relentless Aggression. Vi får se hva teknologien tillater. Du får ta og abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com så får du med alle episoderne som kommer. Fortell dem du kjenner om podcasten og legg gjerne igjen en god anmeldelse der du hører. Og vil du bidra med litt peng for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Se infoen I episodebeskrivelsen. Og så må du huske på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook, for der det konkurranser og musikktips. Akkurat nå kan du vinne jakkemerker fra Katakomben, siste skiva til Avertia og Linn Halvorsrøds I bok Påskeaften 1996 om Darkthrone, Dissection og Satyricon på Rockefeller. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og kjører på med et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres!